Where would you even learn that and realize it wasn't just you or just relational? Like my situation, I just thought was specific to our relationship. And
I'm like, no, it's not.
You're like, no, madam, this is what it's like to have sex with a 50-year-old man. Oh, what? Oh.
What's particularly funny, though, is like before they admit they need to take the pill, where, you know, they're just getting soft and they haven't yet accepted the fact that they need to do this. And that, I think, is a particularly raw, sensitive time for men. But I went through a period of several men that was happening to. And I was like, clearly, this is a problem I have. Clearly, it's my problem.
Right. It must be your vagina. It must be something about
must
you.
Must be my illusion vagina, right?
Yeah. So it was interesting, too, is on the flip side, they also, if they're single or navigating this without a lot of information, maybe they're thinking, oh, it must have just been that girl. Or, oh, we just had too many drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want to think about now they're going to need it. So they also are kind of in this weird liminal space where they're not yet at the point where they're saying, hey, this is me. This is my lube in the drawer. This
exactly.
is my dryness. Or this is my erection situation. This is what it's like. Welcome. This is 50. They're not there yet because it probably does take time for them to recognize, oh, this is a thing. This is an actual thing. Welcome to the My Aloof Vagina podcast, where we explore the distress and surprise of our midlife transitions. We take menopause seriously, but we don't take ourselves seriously. And we believe that learning what to expect in perimenopause can be entertaining. It's inevitable, so we may as well equip ourselves and have a good time. In this episode, you'll meet my friend Jen, who blew my mind last fall with her insights about sex over 50. What's the deal with these marathon lovemaking sessions guys are serving up to us as we get older? And what's a sure sign that your man is using Viagra and not telling you? And what's the way forward navigating our aging sexual organs together? Get the answers to these questions and more in this episode. By the way, I would love to stay in touch. So please join my email list at sisterhood.myaloofvagina.com. You'll always be the first to know what's going on, and I promise not to spam you. At this point in my life, I'm just too lazy. I'm your host, Martha, and in this conversation, Jen and I revisit that mind-blowing revelation about what may be driving the changes we're noticing in our sexual encounters in the over 50 dating world. So I remember not long ago, maybe 6 months ago, you and I were sitting by the pool and I was talking about my then faltering entanglement and describing to you some things that had happened that I had been identifying as perimenopause problems, that I was identifying as issues with my body and all of these things. And you, there was a moment when you blew open my brain with just one comment. So I wanted to share that with the audience. So Jen and I were talking about what it's like to have intercourse, have sex, have an affair, have a relationship with guys in their 50s and their late 40s. But the conversation started with kind of musing about how different things were, how they were showing up, how it seemed, how all of a sudden I felt like I had issues that I hadn't had before. And Jen just kind of lifted the curtain on this thing I had never even thought about. Can you talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, totally. How about all the emphasis that us women have on sex later in life? And men seem to come up with creative ways to deal with what happens to them. And the thing that I started noticing with men over 50 was that lovemaking went on for hours. And I was like, why is this going on so long? And there's two schools of thought. There's what they say, which is we're mature and we know, like, we take pleasure in the length of time and we enjoy the moment. And then there's what I think.
Right.
Which is, they can't stay hard. So they begin like they always have in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and then they get soft. And so then they decide it's time for some cunnilingus. And they move on down and they go down there keeping pleasure going for you. When really you're like, wait a minute, we were in full blown intercourse, fun sex, and you just decided to stop and do foreplay in the middle. the episode. And I now realize that it's not about giving us 2 hours worth of pleasure. It's about the fact that they can't stay hard for a long period of time and they need to mask it. And so they try to take care of us.
Yeah.
I think that was what I said around the pool.
That was the shot across the bow. That was the moment when I mean, we were kind of in public a little bit. And I, I'm like moving my mouth really big and talking in a whisper for the, like the penis words and the sex words and the vagina words. And it was that was the thing. And I said, what? Because that wasn't even what we were talking about. And it started an entire conversation about Viagra. And what's funny is, yeah.
Because when they take the pill,
yeah,
that's no longer happening.
Right.
You no longer get the pause. You no longer get the like 15 minute switching it around. When they're actually on the pill, you're having pumping for however long.
I mean, because really they do want to. And I listen, not every man and maybe not even men in long relationships, because that's not my experience. So this is women of a certain age dating men of a certain age, getting into these relationships with them and what the sex can be like, especially if you've had a sampling of what's going on and then finding these consistent patterns.
Casual.
Yeah. Casual sex.
Yeah. The casual sex.
And it's just funny how it gets basically the masking of it. The cover up is, oh, it's just exotic. I like to fuck all night long, right? And this idea where if you even indicate, like, listen, can we just be efficient? I'd really like for us to start, have the O, maybe we can get up and eat some brownies and go to bed. I don't necessarily need to have sex for 5 hours every time I see you, or 3 hours, or frankly, even 1 hour.
Well, and the problem then goes to you. What, you don't want to take the time to enjoy this? No, I never have. I've never needed 2 hours. Like, come on. I've slept with enough men over 50 and talked to enough over 50. So men are both bragging on how long their lovemaking is going, as if this is like the thing all women want.
Right.
And so they're both doing it. And then it's such a hysterical, like such a phenomenon. And I've raised it occasionally. Like, do you think that it might just be because you need the pause? That it switches and they have, no, we just know that women need more. Like, this is not about me.
Right. It's what women want. It's what women want, Jen. Women want you to interrupt the pump to go down on them. It's in all the movies.
There's nothing better than foreplay after you're already like on your.
Yeah. You know what? It just occurred to me. I hadn't thought about this since we talked last time, but also I have seen more pornography in the last 2 years than I'd had in my entire life.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking, a lot of this porn kind of, it's definitely, you know, first of all, everyone's always getting a blowjob in the porn, right?
Always.
So,
always.
You know, the woman's going to go down on you and maybe bring her friend. But separate from that, you're going to be having sex and she's going to be like really, really into it. And it's incredible, this penis, vagina sex. And then you're going to turn around and switch and do something else, right? And so that's also what they're watching and masturbating to. And so, you know, this is their tutorial, this instructional thing that this is women want to be moved and they want their position changed 14 times. And then in the middle of it, they want your face down there. And while you're at it, bend over and let me toss your salad. They definitely are getting that message in places too. So they think this is a good way. Maybe even if they're not having the softness issue, they get all this messaging that don't be short, like don't, you know, because that is the joke, like, oh, 2-minute man.
Right. That's what 13-year-old boys do, not 52-year-old men.
Right. So these guys are like still prowess and involves length of time in addition to the Kama Sutra series for you during it. Maybe I would love to hear from other people than just us, but maybe there are women out there in their late 40s, early 50s, who are now they're thinking, finally.
Find me that one woman. Find me.
Because
you are like, not the first person I've talked to about it.
Okay, good. Because I always think I can't like apply my preferences to other people. And I feel like I'm pretty goal oriented. And so the shaming that I got, shaming is not the right word necessarily, but that I was so focused on getting it done or doing the thing that I know I like to do. Oh, well, maybe you're just not that adventurous, right? Because I don't want it to be interrupted and turning into back to oral sex.
No.
You know,
I'm drawing really big statements about what I think is going on, but I don't think I'm wrong. Like, just male behavior, even the discovery of Viagra, it is to, we have a problem, find a very quick and rapid solution to not admit it's a problem. I've gone soft, so I'm going to pretend I haven't, and I'm going to do all kinds of other things.
Right. It's so funny, though, because it is thoughtful in the sense, because we're talking about him, right? It is thoughtful. He's thinking, I want to still pleasure her. It is also a symptom of some thoughtfulness, right? That they
Absolutely.
Care. So it's not a complete critique. It's more just an awareness of what's going on. So then we can shift to the other experience that you get if they do have the blue pill, because this was the other thing that left me, my jaw dropped. I was with a guy who we were long distance and we would not have seen each other for a few weeks, and he would show up and within minutes we would be naked. Like, it was this instant thing. And, you know, that's what led me to thinking that I was having responsiveness issues, really. And when it came down to it, I'm glad it helped me discover that I was in perimenopause and I definitely have other symptoms, but it wasn't that my clitoris was dying or wasn't working.
It wasn't warmed up.
So I was really focused on this idea that I was in the situation. There was so much passion and we hadn't seen each other, and he couldn't wait to stick it in. And when I was talking to Jen, I realized that he probably was taking Viagra on the way because he knew he was going to have to perform. And, you know, now it's routine. He had talked about Viagra in the beginning, so I was aware that he had it, but we never spoke again about whether or not he was taking it. But that he would come in the door with his drug dick, those first encounters when we'd see each other that I was chalking up to just pent up passion were most likely Viagra fueled, dick focused moments. So we can talk about that.
Yes. So since our pill conversation, I have learned more about what the pill actually does. Apparently, it doesn't necessarily drive arousal. What it does is matches the state of arousal you feel. So I think what happens is when men discover it, they're like, oh my God, finally, I'm not worried about my performance because this is actually matching the way I feel. I actually don't think that your man wasn't feeling all of those things when he drove into your apartment. He just now had the tool that had been like,
he had the hammer
up. Yeah,
right.
And it hadn't been showing up prior. He just was like, yeah, I've got the right tool. And so then they just go to town. I mean, I have noticed that they just don't, I mean, they no longer need the break. So I'm no longer having the rat.
Right. Yeah. And no, I definitely knew he was into it and into me. And there was that desire there. It was just this idea that when we had the conversation for the first time, there was some nuance to my memory of how aggressive his penis was showing up in the moment, as far as being the center of attention, like a heat-seeking missile, needing to get there ASAP. Whereas in general, if we had any time together, that's not necessarily how he approached lovemaking, right? Mm-hmm. It was more making out and doing stuff. But when he showed up, and it wasn't when I showed up there. It was different when I showed up there. Sometimes we would eat dinner or go out or do something. Mm-hmm. It was something about the drive. And so I just feel like there was a point
in the drive. Totally.
I feel like there's a point in the drive. He knew exactly when he was like 30 minutes away or whatever, he'd gotten it down. So at some point when he got to a certain city on the Beltway that he was popping it. And so when he was showing up, it was kicking in. And maybe sometimes he hit traffic and it kicked in earlier. So he was coming up the stairs to my apartment with a raging heart on. Right? Because sometimes it was more urgent than others. And you know, I was happy to see him too, but sometimes I had slaved over like a beef bourguignon, or one time I made buh. And I remember that day, and I'm just now for the first time reflecting on it. He made fun of me for the longest time about how long it took me to make the pho. Oh, if you're me from 8 years ago. It's faux. You know it as faux.
Hey, this is your cheeky reminder to join my list. Then I'll send you treats and behind-the-scenes stuff and more. At least I will when I actually get around to sending emails. Just go to sisterhood.myaloofvagina.com to sign up, and I promise I will not bombard your inbox. And if you love this irreverent podcast, please recommend it to a friend you think will enjoy it so that we know to keep delivering this very specific style of midlife information and stories for you.
I'd done it in the Instant Pot and I'd fucked up and I hadn't put the seal in there. And so I thought it was cooking. He came and he goes, "Oh, wow, it smells amazing here." But he was all, you know, and I was like, "Oh no," you know, in the kitchen trying to fix this problem. And I said, "Oh, go sit over there." And I remember looking over and he was sitting there and he was a little irritated. How long is it going to be till this is ready? And I thought it was because he was hungry. So I'm like cutting cheese and crackers and saying, "Well, here's something to eat." And he's like, no. It wasn't that he was starving, as I was thinking. That's why he cared about dinner not being ready. It was that he was probably sitting in that chair hard as a rock. Yep. And I was not going for it. I was really focused on this recipe that needed to be. There were a lot of steps that were left. And I spent a lot of money on that meat. I'll tell you, I'll never make pho again. You could just buy it. It's much better. It's not that expensive. You don't need to make it yourself. It doesn't matter how delicious it is. But I'm remembering the pho story differently now. What the fuck was going on is that he was in the corner with his...
And with his machine-operated tools of the artillery.
Yeah, his hammer was ready to go. And it makes me feel kind of bad, because if we've been communicating about it, I would have, first of all, I would have had mercy on him. If he'd even said, "Listen, I took a pill for you, baby, and can you turn that thing off and can we eat later?" I would have for sure done it. But we weren't communicating in that way, so I wasn't aware until you and I sat by the pool. And until just now, this is the first time I made the connection on a specific memory. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But the beauty of it all, like, we're making fun of it.
Yeah.
Not making fun of it, but the beauty of it all is it is really about wanting to please us.
Right.
In addition to their own kind of ego, which is what I think we're centered on. There is an element of making sure that we're getting what we want. And you mentioned that earlier. And I do think that that is beautiful. And so I don't want to, eliminate the fact that there is a thoughtfulness to it.
Right. Well, and really, this is just a PSA. It's the kind of thing that guys probably know and we don't know. And in that moment, you had cracked open access to this thing that I'd never thought of, because I had only dated younger men. I had never really had a relationship with anyone of that age. I'd had that span of celibacy, and I tend to date pretty close to my own age. And this was my first experience. And I remember, and maybe it was you, telling someone, like, "Oh yeah, he doesn't have to use it." Because the very first night he'd come, I remember he was fumbling around and looking for it, and then didn't find it. And then we had sex. And then in the morning, he said, "Oh yeah, I mean, I thought I brought one. I was going to take it. I thought I was going to need it. And I didn't." And I was like, "Oh." So in my mind, from then on, "Oh, he doesn't need it with me." And I never asked a follow-up question. And probably if we'd had a different relationship or it had continued, eventually it would have come up. Certainly if I'd had that conversation with you, I would have asked him, because I don't care if they take it. It's not anything that he would have to hide from me. And I don't think he was hiding it. I just never asked. I wasn't curious. It never occurred to me to inquire again. And he was so open about it in the beginning. I imagine he would have been open about it during. And then we could have had conversations. And it, you know, "Hey, I'm not up for 2 hours tonight." Right? Or, "So take one." Or, "Let's take our time tonight. Can you not take one?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. And then we both would have had that tool in our arsenal for the intimacy, right? And I would have known what I was getting into. Instead, I just never knew. I didn't know what kind of encounter we were going to have, you know, and it was a surprise. And on fun, I would have maybe made something, sandwiches. I would have done something different if I had known he was going to show up and be irritated with a hard-on, an erection in the corner of my kitchen. I mean, he just kept looking at me, and it wasn't with desire. It was with annoyance. And
yeah.
And
you thought it was the food.
I was like, and you know, because I want to please him, right? I was thinking, oh, you never should have cooked this tonight. You should have started sooner, right? I was hyper sensitive to the idea that I was making him wait to eat when really probably it was more than that. Because that wasn't really a big eating night. If he was on the pill, there wasn't going to be as much eating.
I love that. The more communicative. It's a great PSA.
Yeah. And I love it. It's nothing to be offended by or upset about or feel bad about. It's, you know, just as we're changing, they're changing. And the same circulatory issues happen. And with a previous boyfriend, he told me that, you know, at about 40, the doctor starts asking, do you need any Viagra? Do you want any pills? And so he got them before he even realized he would need them because the doctors are like, here, just take it. It's covered. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's all covered under their insurance. Unlike my hormones, their Viagra is covered. And so he had a bottle and he said sometimes it expired and he would throw it away because he got it just in case, you know, with your male doctors, like, just take it. You think, yeah, I should have this. I might need it some night. And he had taken it a couple times, but he didn't really have an issue yet. So I know it's ubiquitous. I know they get it. I know it's offered to them and I'm thrilled they have it, especially when it comes to confidence. I guess I just have to figure out, as a single woman in her 50s, still out there dating, I have to figure out how to broach the topic in a way that will help them feel like we can talk about it and be open about it and make choices together about whether it's going to work that particular night.
This is a topic for another conversation, but it's not up to you, Martha. This is I'm being comfortable with. We don't need to enable them. We don't need to broach. Hey, it's okay. I understand. Like, let's evolve. Like, my boyfriend brought it up easily, comfortably. I need it the same way. I've got lube in the side drawer because I'm drying up. I need it. I throw it up. I don't like try to hide it. I don't try to have him be like, oh, like it is about admitting what's going on. And let's just stop pussyfooting around the fact that they're not evolving. Like, they need to evolve on their own and they need to be comfortable with their dysfunctional dick. And we don't need to like make it easier for them. Like, let's have a conversation about it. I just want you to know that I am perfectly comfortable with you taking the little blue pill. No!
I'm so about communicating. Like, I was really taking all the responsibility on myself.
No,
yeah.
Don't. Yeah. It's not up to you. It's not helping them at all. They need to just step up and realize, like, they will eventually, over time, they will evolve and catch up to the openness that we all have. Let's get some of them on the, let's get some of those men on your Aloof Vagina podcast.
We'd have to have special episodes. It's funny because I have male listeners. I'm aware because they send me messages and some of them are friends and some of them are
going to hate me.
No, not the ones who listen. And some of them are husbands of friends, right? So okay, there are men in my life listening to this and probably men I don't know, but some of the episodes really get into some hairy stuff, like some health issues. And a lot of them, of course, because we're women, are very menstruation focused. I went back and found the ones where we talk a lot about blood and I added NSFM and then wrote ladies only in the title so that they can start finding it, right? Because they do want to know what we're talking about, but they don't necessarily want to talk about, you know, this transitional menstruation period. But yeah, I could have men on, but then I'd have to have some other kind of label for women. Like this is, because that could be triggering to have to listen to particular guys.
Oh, totally. Like what they think about this all.
What they think. And then their point of view and and us. And then me like kind of pussyfooting around it. Because, I mean, my Aloof Vagina, it's an apt name for me if I'm going to pussyfoot around men's problems. Because I will pussyfoot around what they are thinking. Because I want to protect their egos. It's one of my natural states.
I mean, it's just... Well, we're trained to do that.
Yes, we are.
We are trained to protect their ego.
It might be triggering for my audience for me to have a man on. Because like, Martha, for fuck's sake, spit it out. Right? So, oh my gosh, this is so fun. I knew I was going to have you on. The second our conversation turned that day, I thought, oh my gosh, I cannot be the only woman who was completely oblivious why some nights were long, marathon, multiple going down, blah, blah nights, and some encounters are just straight the dick leading the way, walks through the door with his erection coming to you. And I don't know how long it would have taken me to figure it out without you.
Well, delighted. I want to talk about this stuff all the time. And I love that you brought up the porn piece too, because that's throwing a wrench into my theory. That is a super significant socialization tool that, you're right, a 2-hour feature. I mean, that's what they're learning. So that in itself is fascinating as well, because I suspect that a lot of what we're seeing now is that too, because they can take their time because they're not as like up on the pill.
Yeah.
So, and then they're like, oh, well, remember that 2-hour video I watched? This is what they did. So we'll just
Chicks dig it when you throw them around and change direction. And then you say, now it's POV. I'm licking your pussy. And you're like, wait a second. I was about to come.
Right.
And now Why are you stopping?
Yeah. So I'm happy to talk about this stuff anytime you want.
Oh gosh, Jen, I will have you on. I feel like we could just have a couple more cups of coffee or pool dates and come up with all sorts of things to talk about. It is a different experience when you haven't been married to a guy for a long time. It is a different experience starting the relationships at this stage. And then we're observing things, but because, you know, you don't talk about it really. And because there's not kind of an example in the world, there's not really an example for us in our cinema, you know, so it happens with us too. In the rom-coms, there's not an example of what it's like to stumble into sexual relationships with men at this age and to see how things have changed and the whole landscape changes. The truth is 99% of them, it's even worse than when I was younger. 99% of them aren't even going to get a second date with me. We're going to barely make it past the first drink or coffee or conversation. Mm-hmm. Because it's such a weird landscape right now. Mm-hmm. And because I'm so set in my ways, and I know within minutes if I'm even getting interested, right? So the idea that we get to that point where we're like, okay, now people are gonna be naked and this stuff is happening. Where would you even hear that? Where would you even learn that and realize it wasn't just you or just relational? Like my situation, I just thought was specific to our relationship. And
I'm like, no, it's not.
You're like, no, madam, this is what it's like to have sex with a 50-year-old man. Oh, what? Oh.
What's particularly funny, though, is like before they admit they need to take the pill, that was happening to me for a while where, you know, they're just getting soft and they haven't yet accepted the fact that they need to do this. And that, I think, is a particularly raw, sensitive time for men. But I went through a period of several men that was happening to. And I was like, clearly, this is problem I have. Clearly, it's my problem.
Right. It must be your vagina. It must be something about
must
you.
Must be my illusion vagina, right?
Yeah. So it was interesting, too, is on the flip side, they also, if they're single, are navigating this without a lot of information. Maybe they're thinking, oh, it must have just been that girl. Or, oh, we just had too many drinks. Mm-hmm. Because they don't want to think about now they're going to need it. So they also are kind of in this weird liminal space where they're not yet at the point where they're saying, hey, this is me. This is my lube in the drawer. This is my dryness. Or this is my erection situation. This is what it's like. Welcome. This is 50. They're not there yet because they're probably also having sporadic sex with different people. And so it probably does take time for them to recognize, oh, this is a thing. This is an actual thing. Maybe if you were married or in an ongoing relationship, you would recognize it and it'd become much more matter of fact because you'd be dealing with it on a daily basis with someone that you trusted.
Exactly.
So I do have a lot of compassion for them. I don't mean to pussyfoot around, but I do. I can't help myself. So face to face, I'm definitely someone who's going to dance around to try to make sure they're as comfortable as possible and help usher them into the conversation.
You're a caring, nurturing individual.
I try. Well, this is great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to look forward to bring you back and we will unveil other dating in your 40s and 50s secrets.
Can't wait.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, take care of yourself and take care of your vagina. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend you think would enjoy it too.